The noise of streetcars screeching along Queen Street. The noise of a growing city, cranes craning, trucks trucking, saws sawing, hammers hammering. The noise of sirens, police, fire, ambulance. The noise of orange helicopters bringing trauma, bringing hope. Car noise, plane noise, leaf blower noise. Don't they know what time it is? The noise of our always-on culture, phones ringing, texts binging, notifications blaring, the noise of the grind, the constant rush and flurry, road rage noise, clenched fist, flared nostrils, the noise of mental illness, yelling from the street corner, the noise of addiction, crying in the grass, the noise of unfair expectations, of unrealistic beauty standards, the noise of the mind that replays our worst moments over and over and over again, that megaphone our anxieties and our fears, the noise that says we just aren't good enough, the noise of illness, hospital noise, codes and tubes and tears. The beep, beep, beep of life renewed or life slipping away. Leading up to the 50th anniversary of what was then the Metropolitan Wesleyan Methodist Church, Mr. Chester Massey, a prominent member of this church, approached the committee organizing the anniversary celebration with an idea. He proposed donating a carillon for the church's tower, which would be the first tuned carillon in the country. His wife, Margaret Phelps Massey, had recently died in Pasadena, California, after a long illness. The bells of a nearby church had given her such comfort while in hospital at the end of her life that it was her wish that the people of Toronto could know similar comfort and enjoyment. The bells were commissioned and cast in Croydon, England, by the firm of Gillette and Johnson, the same firm that had made the clock for Toronto's old city hall. The largest of the carillon bells was 8 feet in diameter. Weighed 8,456 pounds. It is said that Her Royal Highness Princess Beatrice, the daughter of Queen Victoria, took a special interest in these bells bound for Canada on a tour of the foundry. Once completed, the 23 bells were shipped to Toronto, installed in our tower, and were dedicated on Sunday, April 2nd, 1922. A service saw the sanctuary packed and hundreds of people outside in the park. At Chester Massey's request and to honor Margaret's wishes, each bell of the carillon was inscribed with these words: "May the Spirit of the Lord reach the heart of everyone where the sound of these bells is heard." On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." As is true in many of the healing narratives we encounter in the Gospels, Jesus is doing something else. He's on his way somewhere else when the immediacy of need breaks in and a compassionate response to that need occurs. In this case, Jesus is still on the road, traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem. If you recall from a number of weeks ago, a journey that started crossing into Samaritan territory and Jesus needing to rebuke James and John for threatening to rain down fire upon a village because they did not show them welcome. At this time in biblical history, there was deep-seated distrust and resentment between the Samaritans and the Jews that had been festering since before the Babylonian exile. Despite their close proximity, the two groups developed separately, each with their own cultures and worship practices, but each convinced that they were the true people of God. They were separate tribes leading separate lives, But in today's reading, we see that for the 10 men who cry out to Jesus, there is a further dimension of their separation, that of illness. Some translators say this is leprosy, others just say skin disease, but the implication is the same. Because of their affliction, these men have no place in either Jewish or Samaritan society. Their illnesses have changed their social and religious position. They are outsiders. In Jesus' time, these outsiders would have been ostracized from their families and communities, and worse still, they would have been suspected of having a role in their own illness, of being a source of ritual uncleanliness. So for these men, they suffer not just physical sickness, but also social and spiritual sickness. The noise of the mind that says they are to blame, they deserve what has happened to them, they are unworthy, unlovable. From this place of deep need, the text says they cry out to Jesus, but that they keep their distance. The impact of this statement is somewhat diminished by the New Revised Standard Version translation. Here, the word poro then is rendered as keeping their distance, but the original Greek actually has a much stronger feel with the root of the word poro meaning a great way off. A great way off. From a great way off, they cry out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he sees them, he says to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were made clean. Encountering need, Jesus heals from a great way off. Jesus brings comfort and the reconciliation between body and mind and spirit from a great way off. May the Spirit of the Lord reach the heart of everyone where the sound of these bells is heard. I had a man come up to me in the park before the service last Sunday. It didn't look like he had slept. He told me that his husband is dying of cancer in St. Mike's Hospital in a room that overlooks our park. The night before, when Roy was trying out our newly refurbished bells, they could hear him playing through the hospital walls. And he'd wanted to let me know. It was important for him to express that the music brought them such joy and comfort, even in their distress. May the Spirit of the Lord reach the heart of everyone where the sound of these bells is heard. The carillon is different from any other form of ministry we do here. Indeed, it is unique within the whole United Church of Canada. For the most part, and there is good reason for this, we are focused on the insiders here. We are focused on the people who intentionally come here to share in this ministry. You, the members, adherents, newcomers, and visitors of Metropolitan United Church. Our worship services, both online and in person, our music programs, our pastoral care, our community building activities are for you, for us, the insiders. Even people who access our outreach activities, our meals and our foot care clinic and our art and computer lab, they come here, they are fed or comforted or supported, and in so doing, they become insiders too. But the carillon is different. It and the music our carillonneurs play is simply a gift of beauty for everyone and anyone, wherever the sound of the bells is heard. It is a gift of beauty for us, certainly, but also, and perhaps more importantly, a gift of beauty for those in the hospital rooms, for those in the condo and apartment towers, for the bankers and the drug addicts and the guys who sell smokes on the corner, for the nurses on their breaks and for the neighbors walking their dogs, for the commuters screeching past on the streetcar, for people of different faiths or no faith to speak of, for those grieving loss, for those clinging to life, for those on their way somewhere else or doing something else that perhaps don't even know that they need the gift of beauty until they receive it. In this city that is so full of noise, noise that hurts our ears and noise that hurts our hearts, the carillon is a gift. It is a gift of beauty. It is a gift of healing. It is a gift of joy. It is a gift of affirmation that each one of us is included in God's grace, even if we feel like an outsider, even if you feel a great way off. You are still included in God's love. It is impossible to quantify the impact that Margaret and Chester Massey's gift 100 years ago has had on this city, nor the gifts of others, such as the Drury family that helped to increase the carillon to 54 bells. It's not like our other forms of ministry. We can't count the bums in the pews or the live stream views or program participation. It's impossible to quantify the impact, but we do have stories. Stories like the one from the man in the park last Sunday. Stories like the one from the night of January 30th, 1928. The night when an electrical fire destroyed most of this church. That night when 200 firefighters from 10 different stations rushed to the blaze, their coats and hats freezing over with ice in the frigid cold, and when they saw that the sanctuary was lost, they put all their efforts on saving the tower. Fire Chief William Russell said afterwards, "I did not care what happened as long as the men kept the fire from the tower. We wanted to save those bells, and we did." May the Spirit of the Lord reach the heart of everyone where the sound of these bells is heard. Luke tells us that of the 10 men that were healed by Jesus, only one, the Samaritan, the outsider amongst outsiders, was exalted as the exemplar of faith. Despite his years of ostracism and keeping his distance, he's the one with the courage, the audacity to approach Jesus and to throw himself at his feet in thanksgiving. All 10 are healed. They are all included in God's love, but it is the one who stops, returns, and praises that encounters the living Christ. This story reminds us that it is in praise and thanksgiving that the face of God is revealed. The writer of Psalm 66 calls us to make a joyful noise to God. All the earth make a joyful noise. Because of all that God has done and is doing, we should make a joyful noise. The world is too full of noise that hurts our ears and noise that hurts our hearts. So as a people of God and as followers of Jesus, we are called to sing a different song. We are called to give the gift of beauty into the world, to put goodness and kindness and gratitude and joy into the world wherever and whenever it is needed. And this is important to say, especially to a group of insiders like us. Authentic Christian witness compels us to not stay inside. Rather, like the tune of the carillon, to go to where the outsiders gather, even if it is a long way off from where we may feel comfortable, perhaps even in the depths of our own troubled mind, into the places of isolation and illness, into moments of despair, into feelings of unworthiness, and to proclaim with words of compassion and actions for justice and songs of comfort and hope and healing that by God's grace there are no outsiders. We are all included in God's expansive and boundary-defying love. On this day, we celebrate Margaret and Chester Massey's gift. We celebrate the gift of our caroliners, especially our current caroliner, Roy Lee. We celebrate in gratitude the capital campaign gifts of all in this community that made the refurbishment of our beloved carillon possible. And as we move now into the second century of this ministry of joy for our city of noise and need, may our declaration be renewed. May our declaration be renewed as we say once again, may the Spirit of the Lord reach the heart of everyone, everyone, where the sound of these bells is heard.